Okay, and here we are, hour number three tonight. The headlines are certainly provocative today. Ann Coulter has made an appearance. I haven't heard anything out of Ann for a while and just didn't pull any punches. She said it all. Hopefully you've seen the story by now. It's been up there all day. Sputnik News carried the verbatim. Let's see what it says here. Ann Coulter picked up on Donald Trump's weekend dig at Jeff Sessions, his former attorney general, frothing at the mouth with rage, Donald did, saying that he had to recuse himself due to Trump's actions. Former Trump defender and author of the book In Trump We Trust, Ann Coulter, has gone on an anti-Trump Twitter tear, trashing Trump, who she had initially endorsed, like I did, during his 2016 campaign, as the most currently now, this is the revised view of Trump from Ann Coulter, the most disloyal actual retard that has ever set foot in the Oval Office. Ann Coulter. And it wasn't all she had to say. She said that Sessions had to recuse himself, you complete blithering idiot. And that's a couple more here. See if I can find him here. Oh, heck, I'll just go back here to the headline. Coulter unloads on Trump, calls him most disloyal, actual retard ever to be president, adds that he is a blithering idiot, a moron, and lout, and regrets once believing in this, quote, shallow and broken man, end quote, and all of his promises that he vowed to fulfill. So there's somebody who has spoken out for millions, tens of millions of Americans who would never have the platform to do so. The disappointment in Donald Trump is really beyond measure. It's just huge. Some of the other headlines today, and there are a lot of them out there, the CDC now is admitting that the coronavirus fatality rate is in the same, their words, ballpark as seasonal flu deaths. So they're changing their position on that a little bit. CV coronavirus spread would dramatically have dropped if 80% of the population had just worn masks in the beginning. This is from a researcher, his opinion. I've said personally that I believe the same thing. Had we had a traditionally full national stockpile, masks could have been handed out to all, certainly workers and essential businesses, just to reduce the number of people who would be infected, even though the death rate is low, relatively speaking. There's a lot here, and then we've got the Joe Biden thing. Henry, welcome back. Did you hear the Joe Biden thing?
Not sure.
You'd know if you did.
Yeah,
here. Let me play this for you. I've named the place Shady Acres. It's a home for the demented, the senile, and he really needs to go there. It's just really bad. This is Joe Biden on a CNBC talk show. This is not a joke.
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
All right, I'll play it again.
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
Well, there you go. He's going to beat himself in November. So there's the latest Biden. I guess they call them gaffes, but it's really kind of sad what's happening. No one likes to see anyone begin to break down, but he's certainly breaking down. And then we have video of Trump today. Maybe it's his meds. I don't know. At Arlington, struggling to stand up and stand still. He was wobbling, and you'll see that as well. So maybe it was hot back there. I don't know. And here's another one that's kind of humorous. Trump, I have a chance to break the deep state. He actually said that. John Kennedy tried to do that. Maybe Trump has forgotten. The deep state won't allow that. They'll put you in the morgue real fast. Donald Trump has spent more time playing golf than President Obama had at the same point in Obama's first term. More golf. Interesting. All right, we have approached, and we are almost there, as Henry said. 100,000, that's the official number. Make of it what you will, but we're very close to 100,000. Henry, what are we looking at besides certainly a scattering of reports of increased cases since lockdowns have been lifted in places or relaxed, which is exactly what you said would happen. And I don't think it's a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, but things are playing out pretty much as you forecast. Go ahead. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. After watching some of the films of crowds this weekend, I think I've underestimated the stupidity of the U.S. Populace, and I got a feeling Trump should probably. I don't know if you heard, but WHO had stopped trials using his favorite medication.
Yeah, hydroxy trials stopped. Yeah, they said it was too dangerous.
And now they're talking about possibly not holding the convention in Charlotte because they can't guarantee that it's going to be open. And I think that
he wants
combo,
that rally.
Yeah, I think that he better stock up on his hydroxy so that he can offer that as an incentive to get his followers to show up and tell them that he'll give them a 10 times the normal dose at the door.
They show up
and they'll be good to go and not a problem. Come on down. It'll be nice and crowded. We'll keep you warm. We'll all be bunched up together there and take our hydroxy and go for it here. So,
can you imagine the air circulation in there, all the yelling and cheering? It wouldn't need an internal air conditioning unit. The air would be moving all over the place. Everybody would be equally offered a whiff. Well, there you go.
Right. We'd have Jonestown times 10. All indoor. It'll be a sight to see wherever it is. I'm not sure it's going to be in Charlotte, but they're talking about Texas or Florida or I don't know what the third state is.
Well, Florida's a problem. They have apparently now cleared the way for a lot of ex-felons, lots of them, to vote in Florida. So Trump's a little concerned about that. He might go to Texas, I would think. He's got formidable obstacles.
I thought that if he doesn't win Florida, his past 270 was gone.
That'll take care of it. That's my understanding.
He needs Florida to have any hope. But the bottom line is there are 100,000 dead. They just haven't been reported yet. The holiday has kept the number down. They only reported about 500 today, 500 deaths. And many of the states didn't report any, and many of the states...
That happens on all weekends, but a holiday weekend would make it even more pronounced.
Yeah, there's a few that haven't reported anything since Saturday, and a few haven't reported since Friday. And even the ones that were reporting today, many of them were just, you know, a fraction of what they would normally have. They, you know, a lot of them are single digits as far as the number of deaths that are being reported. You know, Colorado has one, you know, Tennessee has two. These are all, you know, partial reports that basically they get reports from various sites, and most of these reports are not calling in and giving anything, and a lot of them wouldn't do it on Sunday also. So Sundays and Mondays are typically low reporting days, and so with the holidays thrown in, I mean, one of the tabulators, the Worldometer, has it at 99,805. So it's 195 shy. And
correct. They're already dead.
Just didn't get reported. Yeah. So right. Tomorrow they'll probably all push over to 100,000. The Worldometer, I think I mentioned on Friday, was probably 1,000 to 2,000 deaths ahead of some of the others, in part because they count the veterans mm-hmm. that have died, and not all of them include that. They're limited more to just the 50 states and the District of Columbia. The Worldometer has a few additional sites. I mean, they got the Navajo Indian Nation report. I mean, that's not a big number. I think it's 100 or 200. And the VA, I think, has got over 1,000. And that's not in all of the tallies. And actually, mm-hmm. they include Puerto Rico, so they got a couple thousand in Puerto Rico. So that's, I take that back. Those are cases. That's not deaths. Puerto Rico's 129 deaths, but the VA, they got 1,130. So that's their larger number of deaths that aren't in all the tallies. And they've got 59 in federal prisons. They're not all these sites don't include that. But the biggest one is in the VA. The VA has 1,130 deaths, and those are reported separately from the states. But in any event, it's about 99,000. But as you said, there's a bunch of states that have been going up, and they've probably been relaxed the largest, a lot of these Midwest states and a few in the South. And Alabama, I guess, Montgomery is down to one ICU bed unoccupied right now. So they're concerned that if they get another surge of cases, they think they're shipping them out to Birmingham right now. But Alabama's got some serious issues already as far as ICU beds are concerned. And a lot of these rural locations that have been going up all along because they've got processing plants that are basically feeding the surrounding community, those numbers are going up. And then, I mean, I saw some of the films. One of them, Lake Geneva, I actually grew up in the Rockford, Chicago areas, and Lake Geneva is about equidistant from both. And yeah, it's a short hour ride or so. So it's in southern Wisconsin, and I guess thanks to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it's open season, so to speak, as far as the virus is concerned. And a lot of the people from Chicago, which has it's more than its share of cases, are just going up to Lake Geneva for the holiday. And it was pretty crowded. There was film coming out of Lake Geneva, and a lot of people, not very many masks. And I would think that
I went into Walmart yesterday. I don't go off. Yeah. I went in there looking for an electronic thing. And virtually the only people in the store with masks all of a sudden were the staff.
The salesmen. Yeah.
That's it. And I think I saw, honestly, about four, maybe half a dozen, four, five, six, and among the customers, that was it. It's over. They're just not doing it.
Well, I can give you an instructive story that I've heard. I'm pretty sure it's accurate, but it's secondhand. But I should know more. This is somebody who actually had been confirmed to have been positive in early April, and so had his sister and his mother. They all live in the same house, and he went to Buffalo for the weekend, not this weekend, last weekend.
Right.
And he's been pretty careful about, exposures and wears a mask and does a lot of wiping and is, even if he goes out, is pushing a shopping cart or whatever, he's wiping things down. And Buffalo does have an outbreak, and he did go to Buffalo for the weekend and went to Walmart. And that's about the only place he went. And in spite of the mask and wiping down, when he got back home, a few days later, he went
symptoms.
In to be checked. This is a much more dramatic story than just plain symptoms. He had tested positive back at the beginning of April and had a relatively mild course. He had a cough for several days, and his mother just had a cough. It was kind of a nagging cough, and his sister was asymptomatic. And they're in New York, so it's fairly easy to be tested there. And he got tested and was positive, as was his sister and his mother. So they were all positive in early April. And then when the test for antibodies came out and was readily available, he went and got tested to see what kind of titers he had. And he tested positive on that, and he had a titer of 1 to 80. And I talked to him, and I said, well, 1 to 80, that's okay. It's kind of borderline. Usually the cutoff's 1 to 40. They go and they say you got 1 to 40, you've got immunity, but that's kind of sketchy. And, 1 to 40 may not really be enough to prevent you from being infected again. And, 1 to 80 is a little bit better than 1 to 40, but, that's still kind of iffy also. And I said, but, it's only been 3 or 4 weeks, and your titer may be going up. It's not necessarily at its peak a few weeks after you were infected. And so he went back to do another antibody test to see if his titer had gone up. And again, he's in New York, so he went in, and they said, well, as long as we're going to go ahead and draw blood to do the antibody test, why don't we do another nasopharyngeal swab and take a look and make sure that you're negative for the virus. And then he called me back and said, guess what? I'm positive for the virus. And I said, well, what kind of What kind of level do you have there? You know, what was the CT score? You know, that basically the lower that is, the more virus you have, and if it's fairly high, it might just be marginal, and you know, it might just be dead virus, as you had mentioned last week, people that kind of seem to have been reinfected or had the virus for a long time. You know, it may not be that they were infectious. It may be that they just have RNA hanging around, and they're picking that up with the PCR test. And he said, "No, I had a CT value that indicated that the level was moderate to high, but I'm asymptomatic." And I said, "Well, you know, if you've got a moderate to high level of virus, then your mother and sister are probably at risk. You know, you could be passing that on even if you're negative."
And, Henry, how do you know this gentleman again?
I've known
just
him
indirectly.
For a while.
Okay, just an acquaintance, all right.
Right. So then he went back to see if the numbers were changing and his virus levels were still going up. And then he did start to develop symptoms, and he had a pretty severe cough. And I talked to him on the phone, and he definitely had a severe cough. I mean, he was coughing quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then they decided that, maybe his sister and mother should get tested. And his sister and mother went in, and they were both positive, and they had a little bit lower level, but you know, a good solid positive. So okay. Basically, the bottom line is that they're all reinfected. They're infected, probably. Well, they're almost mother and wife. I'm sorry, mother and sister would have been infected by him. And he was probably infected at that Walmart. He said that's really the only place he went. You know, he went to visit somebody, but the person he visited in a position where they get tested all the time and they're negative. So he wouldn't have gotten infected there. But he did go out shopping at the Walmart while he was in Buffalo. And that was the only obvious place that he would have been to actually have gotten infected. But regardless of where he got infected, he did, this is the second time in a couple of months. Uh-huh. And so even though he didn't have that high of a titer, he managed to get infected again a couple months later. And more to the point, he had a very high level of virus before he developed symptoms. So he was pre-symptomatic, and assuming he infected his mother and sister, which is a very, very good assumption based upon the timing, then he was contagious, which would have been expected by the high level of RNA he had. And he would have been infectious while he was asymptomatic, and his mother and sister would have been infected the second time also. So all three of them are positive for the second time, and they were infected by with somebody who, at the time of infection, was asymptomatic, although the test indicated they had a fairly high level. So the university is very interested, and they're now going in for daily swabs so that they can find out what their level
what do you,
was.
What's your take on this at this point?
Well, my take is that this is pretty much what I thought happened with swine flu. And what happened with swine flu is a lot of people got infected. Initially, they were not very sick. They didn't really develop that much immunity, but if they had been tested, they would have been positive for the virus, but they actually weren't. You know, most people weren't infected at the beginning of the school year in the fall of 2009. And then 6 weeks later, they managed to get infected with a higher dose of virus. The virus has been adapted a little bit better, and then everybody was being tested, and everybody was positive, and you know, the absentee rate was above 10% for the students and the teachers at the time. It was real clear that everybody was infected, and they did an antibody test, and 40% of the student population in Pittsburgh was antibody positive, and this was in serum samples that were collected before the vaccine was available, so they were positive because they were infected with the virus, not because they had been vaccinated. And I think the same thing is happening with COVID, that a lot of these people that are testing positive on the antibody test now are positive because they either suspected they had the virus but couldn't get tested because they didn't have enough symptoms, just like swine flu. A high percentage of those with COVID don't have a fever. And so if they don't have a fever and all they got is a cough and they're kind of tired, they can't get tested. You know, right now it's a little bit easier to get tested in some locations. New York.
It's exactly correct.
But many others, but in many cases that wouldn't be enough. That you know, you have to either have a known contact be a contact with somebody that has tested positive, or if it's just symptoms, you usually have to have a cough, a fever, and shortness of breath. And if you don't have all three of those, you can't get tested. So
here's a question just came in about your acquaintance, the gentleman you know. Please ask Henry if the first infection might have been the first Wuhan variant, and this time he got the Italian strain.
Yeah, it's possible. Although, like I say, he is in New York, and he wasn't affected that long ago. And Wadsworth did a widespread screening in New York, including upstate New York. And, I mean, technically he is in upstate New York. He's not in New York City, but the Italian strain was pretty widespread by April. They had cases back there in March. So by April, the vast majority were the Italian strain, but it is possible. And it's also possible that, whatever's circulating in Buffalo does have an outbreak and a current ongoing outbreak. And it's possible that Buffalo has the Italian version number two. When I cite the Italian version, just to clarify, there were four different mutations that were present in what I call the Italian lineage that was identified in northern Italy there was a couple that were the index case, and they both had this version that had these four changes. And the four changes are very widespread. When I say, G is, that has all four of those changes. But there are different versions of that Italian lineage that have added additional mutations on top of those four. And And there's a few different varieties of that and how those additional changes affect the immunogenicity or the transmissibility isn't entirely clear. I just, when I scored New York, for instance, I found that virtually all have the Italian lineage. They all have those first four, but there's some variation in what comes after that. And what's going on in Buffalo, I really don't know. I know that it's a serious outbreak there, and that could be the Italian lineage with those four, plus something that was circulating in New York City, or alternatively, something that's been added since then. And that's what's currently circulating, but they haven't really. I mean, I went through the sequences from New York just to see what was going on. And frankly, they didn't have any from Erie County, which is where Buffalo is. They keep on adding sequences from the New York metropolitan area. So that's New York or Long Island. And that's because of the most of the sequences are coming from three hospitals in New York. So those three hospitals are you know, they've literally done thousands of sequences in New York now. But only Wadsworth, which is kind of the state lab, did an extensive run outside of New York, and they did that about a month ago or so, and didn't have Erie included, but they did. They were all virtually the Italian strain, but it is possible this is another version that's in Buffalo right now. So it doesn't have to be the exact same strain that he was infected with, because he was originally not in the Buffalo area. He was probably 100 miles from there where he was originally infected. So it could be a different strain, but it is the same season. And you know, we're not at the fall yet. and that's why I'm thinking that after I saw some of the lines and some of the crowds at various locations, not just Lake Geneva. Lake Geneva struck me because I used to go there as a kid. I'm familiar with the area. And it was, and most of the people in Lake Geneva were from Chicago. Illinois was still fairly restrictive. And, the Wild West up in Wisconsin, that the state, the Supreme Court said that the restrictions were illegal, and so they can do whatever they want from a legal standpoint. Everything's wide open, and they all went flocking up to Lake Geneva for the holiday weekend, and I'm sure some of those from the Chicago area brought a little virus along with them. My guess is that in northwestern suburbs of Chicago, we'll have some serious outbreaks in the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now. And that isn't alone. So I do expect, these numbers to go up. Some of these states that already had rising numbers before this holiday weekend are going to have significant bumps in that. And it is, that is going to set things up for the Republican convention. If they really do hold it with 50,000 people from all over the country, it will be a sight to see. I mean, it will go down as you know, right alongside of Philadelphia in 1918. They'll have wherever it is, Charlotte or wherever the Republicans decide to concentrate 50,000 people and say, you know, it's social distancing doesn't look good in the films.
Right.
Trump doesn't like him every X number of feet apart. He wants them all crowded together, jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and see who can spit the virus the farthest.
He wants to go out in a ball of fire, doesn't he?
Well, it's not just him. He's taken all of his Fifth Avenue crowd with him. Yeah, he said he could stand on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody. He could go and get on TV and do 50,000 times that. Just say, come on down. I got hydroxy for you. It's in the Kool-Aid.
Well, they'll show
it's
up.
All available.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt. They'll be, you know, like you said, they'll be lined up outside trying to get in. You know, the line will stretch forever. You know, the overflow crowd. And it will be it'll be remarkable if they actually pull it off. And I'm not sure where it's going to be because I'm not sure the Charlotte's going to allow it. Because
maybe there'll be a place near you in Pittsburgh they can bring it, and you won't have so far to drive to get there.
No, I think I have trouble in Pittsburgh getting it. But I think I don't know. I would think they would have trouble by when they're going to have it in August.
In August.
By August, by August.
Both parties in August.
I think it's going to be pretty problematic that the like I said, the virus. We'll see what the numbers look like tomorrow and the next day. I mean, the numbers are low over the weekend. I mean, they're lower, and it's really more the deaths that are significantly lower. I mean, there were about 500 deaths reported today, and there were about 500 that were reported yesterday. But the number of cases, I mean, there were almost 19,000 new cases reported today, and there were 19,000 reported yesterday, and this is a holiday. The day before, there were like 23,000. So it's been well above 20,000 new cases every day, and the deaths are down a little bit for the weekend. But I have a feeling that that's just reporting issues because some of these states that report, you know, can report up to 100. Are much lower this weekend. I think, I don't remember, hold on, what was Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania was, Pennsylvania only reported 15 deaths today, and they only reported 28 yesterday, and they reported 112 the day before. So Pennsylvania's, you know, still got fairly good high numbers on the deaths, particularly on eastern Pennsylvania. So they're usually in the 80 to 100 range on most days during the week. And, you know, like I said, there were only 15 today and 28 yesterday. So those numbers will, my expectations is they'll be significantly higher tomorrow or the next day. And the death rates will be back in the, you know, 1,500 or so a day instead of 500. But the point is that there's still plenty of virus out there. And that virus this holiday weekend and people just, a lot of them assuming that, you know, it's over. It's good. You can come out now. And, you know, some of the more restaurants are opening up in the coming few weeks, and you know, more people are heading back to work. You know, they've loosened that up a little bit, and people are still supposed to be, you know, having some limitations, but there's more and more examples of people that are kind of disregarding that. And so I don't really think that there's going to be a big dip over the summer, which is what I did think a month or two ago. I expected.
So you're standing back away from the seasonal drop then? That doesn't look like it's in the cards.
I think more people will get out and about, and that, you know, there may be a dip, but it's not going to be that dramatic. And about mm-hmm. the only place where there's really a significant downturn has been in the Northeast, in the New York, you know, Connecticut, New Jersey area. Those mm-hmm. have had significant declines. I mean, New Orleans kind of went up and came down. So in that sense, in the New Orleans area, the numbers are lower now than they were a month ago. But most of a good chunk of the rest of the country, the Midwest and the South in particular, and probably the Southwest now, that Southern California is starting to go up.
Nothing much is coming out of California news-wise, just FYI. Not much. I know it's busy there, but they're not.
Most of the activities in Southern California, there's not that much activity in Northern California. It's mostly in the LA area or the San Diego area where there's more activity. And it hasn't really been making a whole lot of headlines other than, you know, the daily reports are showing the numbers going up. So California's, you know, getting a couple thousand new cases every day. So the numbers are going up, and the deaths are creeping up, and the deaths are creeping up in other places. You know, Florida, they're usually in the 50s or so, and further up the coast, the Washington D.C. area, including both Virginia and Maryland, their numbers are starting to go up, and so. Because I think it's going to be rolling. The certain areas are going to go down, but other areas are going to go up. They're going to start taking off. So the virus isn't going to get down to this low level where it has to build over the, you know, in the fall. I thought.
So there's not going to be a second wave. No second wave.
I think it's going to be a continuation of the first wave.
That's right. That's right.
That was not going to go away.
Second peak in the first wave.
Right. But I think the second peak will be much higher than the first peak. And I think that really has to do with the virus adapting. As this example I gave, I mean, the thing that was unusual about the example I gave was, what's the levels of the virus? I mean, he has screaming levels of virus, and it's still going up. He got results again today, and it's even higher. And his symptoms are actually getting better. So his symptoms are going down, but he's loaded with virus. I mean, he's got a CT score like 10, which is very high. You know, that means that it reached the level of positivity very quickly, meaning there's a lot of viral RNA there. So he's very infectious, even though symptomatic-wise, he went from being asymptomatic to having a cough, and now his cough is significantly better already. So he only had the cough for a couple of days, and so his symptoms are getting better now. And if he wasn't being tested, if he didn't go to the doctor, he might not even know what he had. You know, he would have thought, well, I feel fine. Oh, I got this cough. Maybe I should go to the doctor. Oh, the cough seems to be a little bit better now. Well, the cough seems to be gone. And all the while, his RNA levels are going up. And so if he didn't get tested, he would probably assume that he never had the virus. He just had some kind of weird cough, although it's it's a funny time of the year to develop a cough like that. I mean, this cough was pretty pronounced, but it only lasts a couple of days. So the point is that the virus can go to high levels. It's not just that people can, you know, transmit while they're asymptomatic, but kind of an unusual thing. And if they do, you know, they don't really affect that many people. You just kind of need to come up with. But this is indicating that the level can go up quite high, and he can be quite infectious. And had he not been tested, he would have been, you know, out and about. I mean, he'd go to work or go to school, whatever, you know, that basically he's over it. It only lasted a couple of days. And frankly, that is what happened with swine flu for a lot of people. I mean, I know back in 2009, when people did get infected at school, it didn't last that long. I mean, these are high school students I'm talking about. And they got the virus and they had a fever and it lasted a couple of days and then the fever was gone and they felt better and they assumed that if they didn't have the fever, they weren't infectious anymore. They mm-hmm. went back to school. And so it was, you know, sometimes it lasted a long time, but other times it only lasted a few days.
We got just two minutes left. Where do we want to get in here before we run out of time? Any idea we missed with it? So you can forget about the hydroxy. The remdesivir didn't do any better. So those things are out. More of the vaccine trials are not going anywhere. There are warnings that they don't expect anything. So it looks like that year and a half projection for a possible vaccine is holding up. So what are we looking at here?
Well, I think the vaccines may be tricky, and because if they're going to do a reasonable test on the vaccine, they're mm-hmm. going to do more than just, now I don't know if they are, but what they should do, especially if they're going to be distributing this widely, is that they should have more than, oh, we gave the vaccine and they've got a titer, because they don't really know what's protective. And, mm-hmm. you know, the example I gave, it looked to me like, you know, 80 wasn't protective, that he seemed to have fairly easily got reinfected a month or two later. And he had a modest, you know, a low to moderate level of antibody. And so I've got a feeling that they're going to get a bunch of people that, hey, they got a titer of 40, they got a titer of 80, and the question will be, well, is that enough? Is that really that protective? And I think the idea is that once they've been vaccinated, they're going to look and see what the frequency of getting infected is. And if the virus hangs around, like I think it will, mm-hmm. that if they get into early fall, there'll be enough virus circulating that they'll have had time to have been, you know, vaccinated and have a titer of, you know, this titer of 40, 80, 160 even. And they'll see whether they get infected anyway. And I got a feeling they are going to get infected anyway, because the viral loads will be relatively high in this, what I'm predicting to be a larger peak. And then there'll be a question as to, well, how good is this vaccine? You got a titer of 40, they got a titer of 80, but are they going to get infected anyhow? And is it going to be on the same level that it was, you know, if they weren't vaccinated at all? Mm-hmm. And do they need a second boost or something? And it's going to get real fuzzy. And whether they're going to say, well, we got a vaccine, it's not as good as we'd like, but it's better than nothing. And then get into the issue where they're using a so-so vaccine and people are getting infected anyhow. That just everybody's trying to just assume the vaccine isn't any good and it isn't doing anything. And that'll, you know, get in the way of any future efforts to get the population vaccinated, and it'll lead to more delays. So I don't think things are going to be good in the fall. The fall is going to be a disaster. The schools that think they're opening in the fall, I have a feeling, you know, they're going to start practicing with the sports teams in like next week or so, and they're going to start developing, you know, symptoms and identifying people, and these schools are never even going to open. And those that do, I would give them 2 to 4 weeks. 2 to 4 weeks, they'll be open, and there'll be too many people infected, and they'll go back to online stuff. So those are the predictions.
We will see. And, Henry, thank you. Hope you had a nice weekend, and not that you got Monday off or anything, but see you tomorrow night.
Okay.
100,000.
Sounds good.
Okay.
100,000 for sure tomorrow. Okay. Talk to you then.
Good night. Henry Nyman. All right, that's our program for you on this Memorial Day. I hope you enjoyed it. A little different first 2 hours tonight. Like to do that, and we'll try and do more as we get the opportunity. We will be back with you tomorrow evening in 21 hours. Talk to you then. Take care.